Go ahead.
All right, thank you, Mark. So at 6:17, we're formally starting our subcommittee meeting from the Plan and Zoning Commission. This is looking at the procedures and processes involved in site applications and other documentation to update them, make them more current, and also easier to process, easier for both the applicants and for city personnel to process. So we get started. That's our call to order. So we have to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. So roll call.
First,
So
Bill, are you going to be the secretary, please?
yeah, I'll take the notes. So William Harris is here, David Kopchanski,
Yes, here.
and Albert Mizowitz
Here.
here. Okay, so everyone's in attendance. So we have our necessary quorum. I don't have any communications. A public portion. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Doesn't look like it.
Anybody in the waiting room, Bill?
There's no one in the waiting room. But just marking ourselves.
Okay.
So no one from the public, but so we'll close that portion of it. Adopting a title. Usually subcommittees get titles, get a name on them.
You know, I think the committee to update procedures is a good title, but I'd like to amend it a little bit. Committee to update zoning permit.
What about
We're talking zone.
Are we going to limit this to the zoning application?
Zoning permits.
Permits.
Which application is part of that? Can't get a permit without an application. And the first step, I think, is going to be the application itself.
Okay. Update.
How do you like, you don't like that title? I don't want anybody to get the impression that we're updating all the procedures in the city term.
Right. So if we're agreed that I could agree that the application would be part of the procedures. It would be, if Al agrees, then we're okay.
I mean, the idea here, you know, when somebody comes in to do a project, mm-hmm. they're interested in getting a permit. They don't care how they get it.
Right.
Know, whatever the application is, it is. But that's why they're here. They're not here just to get an application. So,
so I agree the procedures need to be. I'm with you. The seven steps have to go.
And I was saying this to Albert. Mm-hmm. This is going to take us longer than you think to get this right.
You
I
could.
Mean, we're so out of whack with what they're doing now compared to what the regulations tell us that we have. And that's kind of what I tried to put together today.
Right. So on the name, I just want to make sure we get the, is this the name we want to go with?
What was the final name?
So update zoning committee
update.
Procedures.
Update zoning,
maybe update zoning procedures.
Committee to update zoning procedures. Okay. So that's the formal name we'll have going forward.
Yeah.
And then, so one reason to have a name is so when you're done, now you can say the subcommittee's
well,
done.
That's right. Right. And you want everybody to really clearly understand what on earth are they meaning
right.
about.
Yeah,
what procedures they talking about?
So we're not changing any of the zoning regulations. We're changing just the procedures for now.
No.
So that's a good point to make. It wants to be bounded. or else you're going to have
people are right.
All kinds of stuff. I'm just going to interject because again, Al sent me a note that I thought was really good about. So he said, update current procedures, simplify the application forms. Paul falls under that. Provide examples of correct forms, I think is another.
What I wanted to talk about a bit is when we're talking about updating these procedures, let's keep in mind that there's different categories of application process for different categories of approval. And you could break it down into a simple certificate of zoning compliance for an activity that does not require Planning and Zoning Commission approval, Zoning Board of Appeals approval, or any other commission approval. It's something that could just be issued by the zoning enforcement officer. Now, all of these four categories I'm going to talk about all require as a prerequisite, and this is so important, you know, contact with the zoning enforcement officer on the initial inquiry. That is so, and that's what's missing right now. And it's confusing people, it's getting people to submit the wrong applications, it's not good. So after they meet with the zoning enforcement officer, the next category of zoning permits is going to follow a site plan review.
So let me make sure I got this. So every applicant should meet with the zoning.
Every
applicant. So that's like a step.
That's a step.
What about?
That has nothing to do with categories. I heard four categories of zoning.
So what about the guy that walks in just wants to replace his windows?
Goes for a building permit.
Right. So he won't have to come to
Joe. Yeah, Joe Bolero should know that he doesn't need to get a zoning permit. Now, let's not mix up requirements for a building permit with requirements for a zoning permit.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
Because it's two apples and oranges.
That's two different
things. I know that they're tied together, but for our purposes now, let's try to update the zoning process. And then if we want, we could tackle.
So would you call there? I wrote down four categories of zoning applications, just or four types of zoning applications. Is that kind of what we're saying?
Yeah. And the second one is a site plan review.
So the first one, I'm sorry.
The first one is for a certificate of zoning compliance.
Certificate.
Which may not need any kind of P&Z approval. And there's actual categories in the regulations of activities that are exempt.
So I'm writing down least amount of approval required, usually ZEO only, typically.
Typically, yeah.
So, I mean, I could think of special exceptions.
Let me go through this, Albert, and we'll get to that. We have site plan review applications, okay? They're regulated by 195-30 through 32. You have to meet with the ZEO on those. The ZEO could give you a checklist of items that's in the back of our zoning regulations to assist the applicant. He could give them the timelines for submitting the application to get on.
Do they exist? Huh? Do timelines exist?
Sure. Oh, by state statute.
I mean, we have it. It's a piece of paper you can hand somebody.
Oh, yeah. It's in our regulation.
So it's in the regulation.
Right.
Because Al was suggesting.
That's a good idea to add that into the steps.
Because it could go on your checklist or go on the application itself.
That's where I'm going with this. You know, dates by which an application should be received, the date of the first hearing, how many days that the commission has to act on the application. These are all things that the applicant wants to know. Third category is special exceptions. That includes all of the things that are required for a site plan review, plus some different timelines, plus the fact that it must be a public hearing and noticed as such.
So I should, I mean, but I'm not enough. So the only difference between a special exception and a site plan is that you have to put out the notification, right?
The regulations ask some more questions on detail for a special exception than it does in a site plan. But we don't want to get into the weeds on that right now. You know, we could probably go through each of these one by one at following meetings, but leave it to say that there's more details involved in it.
It'd probably be a good idea if we had it. So I would suggest you have a draft of each one of these presented to the whole commission. Might as well let them take their shot at it too. Yeah. You're going to get input from them. Okay. Then you consolidate it.
The only thing I'm saying, we got to be careful of state statutes 8-2 controls a lot of what we have to do and what we can't do. Mm-hmm. At one of the meetings, I think it was last meeting, one of the members said, we want to have those applications in 1 week before the meeting. I got news for you. State statute says that the submission of the application can happen 1 day prior to the regular meeting. So if we meet on a Tuesday night and somebody decides to submit an application to Lisa on a Monday, we have to put it on the agenda. And that becomes the official date
that was received
of the submission of the application, which means the clock now starts ticking.
Right.
For approval. And again, when we go through these.
So approval or not.
Or action.
Right. I just noticed one thing with the commission is we do have the wherewithal. If there's good reason,
you could deny.
Yeah.
Or deny without prejudice too.
True.
So denying without prejudice is you can come back again.
What they do is they ask for an extension.
Right.
Okay. And the applicant agrees to an extension, and then you're limited though in the number of extensions.
True. But there is some, but if there's real issues with the application, if there's real thorny questions with the application, then the applicant is incumbent to work on it, to resolve it too.
The applicant is so anxious to get approved that they almost put pressure on the commission members, approve it, right?
Well, it depends which order it goes.
Yeah, no, but I mean, they do. I mean, and then, on the other hand, you get these applications that shouldn't even be on the agenda. They don't meet the guidelines for that particular category of application.
I agree.
That's why the checklist in the back of the regulations, in Appendix A, okay, that's a cookbook style way. And what I always did when I did this, I went over that 3-page checklist with an applicant, marked off the things that they submitted, crossed out the things that are unnecessary, and the zoning enforcement officer has that power on certain things.
You do know Dave's past as a building.
All he knew was a nebulous voice on the computer. Years. That's all.
Yeah. So he was the building inspector.
Okay.
So that's where the applicants would go when I first came on the board. So it was full time. He would walk them through the whole process. Knowledgeable. So,
I did. Remember Dave Dotis? Albert? Dave Dotis? He used to go to P&T.
Yeah.
He was only like 4 hours a week. So I had to pick up the slack. But and then, so without again going into too many details on it, and then the fourth category are subdivision and re-subdivision applications. Well, which we've seen all of these, and you've seen all of them too, Bill.
Well, there's a couple more though,
such as
zoning text changes,
zone text change, and zone map change.
So, are those administrative?
Those have to come before us. Those require public hearings.
And okay. The applicant can
zone and.
When zone
I,
text
when I,
and zone map. Is that, could that be put together or should it be separate?
They should be separate. Okay. Right now they put them together and it leads to nothing but confusion. Because there's different notice requirements for each of them. Yeah.
And see that's what I say, if we had a separate application for each one.
That's where I'm going, Albert. Makes it a lot less confusing. And
so I will point out, because I've looked at other towns, they don't do it that way. They don't have separate forms necessarily for all these categories. I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying we would be breaking ground. I don't know how.
I'm suggesting it, Bill, to make it clearer for both the applicant and for the people downstairs.
Yeah.
And I'm not against that. I will point out that the more forms you have, it also creates revision. Now you have to keep all now. So now if you have just one form, you only keep one form up to date. If you got six forms, now you keep six forms. I hear you,
I don't think there's that much that. Yeah.
That's how this the seven steps got out there, right?
That we have now are 40 years old.
When I went through the application process in Ansonia, half of that form I didn't need.
Doesn't apply. I had to figure that's it out. The problem.
There was nobody tell you what you could skip, what you couldn't skip.
Okay.
So it makes it a lot easier if you just have what you really need.
We had that. Bill, you were here for that application on Sodom Lane for the adult daycare.
Yeah.
The applicant just got the certificate of zoning compliance last week. There was such confusion over which form for the application to use, it turned into, he was pretty angry because the bank wanted that. And it could have been solved easily by a clear cut form. One form for the zone text amendment, a different form for the special exception.
And it's not like now you put on your computer on a file. All you got to do is punch out a print and here, there's a copy.
Right.
Yeah. It's. And we.
Would we be suggesting to put the forms online?
Yeah.
First, we got to formulate.
So who is the author of these forms?
Normally, it's the plan. We direct, the planner what to do.
And the planner is?
That's Ryan McAvoy. And
okay.
How old are our forms?
How old are they?
When were they last revised?
Probably about 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
So, I would think that the last step is just to gather all the other existing forms.
Yeah.
And we, as a committee, look through them because we have a pretty good idea. Because, like you said, those are billable hours.
Right. And then, if you want to, plagiarize some other towns, you could do that too.
Right.
If you can search around the internet.
So, this would be something that we would do as a subcommittee. Yeah.
Yeah. You could pick and choose what's,
Right.
You want the form to be pertinent for the type of application that it is.
Right.
You don't need any extraneous information on it. You need need the pertinent
information. And like I said, then you have a form with the timeline
for
that specific type of application.
Right.
You give them both to the applicant. Here's your timeline. Mm-hmm. This is what you need. here's an example. This is an example of a perfect form, what we consider more or less.
Right. That, and I like, you know, that should occur on the meeting between the applicant and the zoning enforcement officer is like the quarterback. He's going to be directing everybody everywhere. Okay. He's going to make a determination on what's needed on the site plan, what type of application that they need to do for what they want to do. He's a real important player. We can't do it. As members, we can't be directing people.
And even if we had a cover sheet that explains what that specific form is, you know, this is a site plan. It's a very simple application. There's no complications in it. This is a special exception. It's like this because you're asking for something that usually is not allowed without special permit. And then if the applicant wants to do his homework, he has this form. He could read up a little. He could become a little educated to the meeting.
Well, all of the requirements are in the regulation.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier just to give them a little.
Yeah, I know, but you can't explain everything on a
form.
There's too many intricacies in all of these applications to simplify it to. The checklist alone. Now, this is the site plan application checklist. 1, 2, 3, 4 pages, small print.
Right.
Not all of these apply in the beginning. Yes,
because we don't have to know the roofing, the window treatments. If they're going to be zoning, we don't need to know.
Well, not necessarily. On a special exception, you might.
Yeah, but
somebody's building a building on Main Street. I mean,
not on a simple application.
Huh?
Not a simple application. Not a simple application.
No. That's where the zoning enforcement officer plays a crucial role, because he's going to go through this with the applicant and he's going to start crossing stuff out.
Right.
Okay. The necessary things he's going to check, yes, which means the applicant has to provide that
information. So this is going a little bit outside of scope. But why isn't the zoning enforcement officer driving a little bit more of the bus? If he's so important to the process, I'm going to ignore the fact he's only allowed to work 10 hours a week. Because we're already we could give him a lot more than 10 hours worth of work a week. But why isn't his role more obvious?
Yeah, more involved.
Well, that's what we have to approach.
That's part of what we're.
Because when I sat down with him. I was really impressed.
Oh, Kevin, smart.
With what? So I said, okay. I figured out really quickly that
this is the guy
that's driving the bus, really driving the bus, and we can have confidence in what we're seeing because he's already looked at it. And if he hasn't looked at it, why the heck hasn't he?
No more. In my discussion, he doesn't have the forms. I asked him, Kevin, where's the certificate of occupancy? Certificate of approval, zoning approval form. What? I said, the half page certificate of approval form, where is it? Never saw it.
Well, now, does it Lisa?
So it's here.
So Lisa fits in this process as well.
And she's part time.
And she's helping other departments too.
So this may just be the town hall being cheap and they don't have it in anybody's job description to begin with. Because then we'll have to pay a little more.
Well, so here's so some of this is if we so organizing this, right, putting out clear cut guidelines and timelines, then you could say, okay, so now there's a job associated with this,
right?
And now you can go to the city and say, and this is what you're going to get for it, right? So you're going to have less churn at the commission meetings, less churn from Ryan's company. And so that's maybe so that's a reallocation of resources. We have the zoning. So you have those people help make this process go better so that his time is spent just working on what he really has to work on and not get involved in things that he doesn't need to get involved in.
Right. and hopefully more.
And he doesn't have to churn it either, right? Because he's doing some of the churn that you would have thought.
He's doing blight stuff that they have two blight offices. Saying, Kevin, what are you doing chasing these, you know,
because he can't.
They asked me.
And then once he sees it, he can't go forward with his part if he hasn't got that part. That's what's happening here, right? So he's got creep, job creep. So
very much so.
So I think what you said with these timelines and guidelines, right? That you said not just the applicant follows, but the people in the office follow.
Yeah. They,
so you stick. So now you're on the road, and you follow the road. And if you hit a rock or you get a flat tire, well, now you got an off ramp, and you go back and start over the road again or whatever.
So my thought: we come up with the procedures the way that they're supposed to be, according to the regulations and the statute. We may find at the end of that exercise, these procedures are too time consuming. Can't implement them with the staff that we have in City Hall. Now what do we do? You got two choices. Get more staff time, or you scale back the procedures. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
But that's a decision that comes from the mayor, right?
Yep.
Or alderman, or whoever makes that. They have to direct the planning and zoning or plan. Yeah.
Well, they have the right to hire, and they have the right to adjust salaries.
Yep. So we could go to them and say, you know, here's what we think we need and how it would work. Right. And then they decide. Right. And then if they say no, then okay. Then, like you say, we recook it.
Yeah. Tell them what the value is. Say, you know, it makes our life easier. It makes your applicants happy. Hopefully, we'll increase the number of people that actually follow
it up. It eliminates somebody coming for us every other month. That application up there on Haven Avenue, that daycare there, Albert, that was like a year for crying out loud. And, you know, the people just didn't have clear direction on what they needed. In a lot of cases, people don't want to know what they can't do. But that's...
Well, it's interesting. I looked at other towns, right?
Yeah.
I look at when things showed up on their agendas.
Yeah.
And when they disappeared.
Right.
And usually it's 30 days. It's a month. Well, sometimes two.
Depends where. Yeah. Not in Milford. Not
one. But some. And Oxford is moving. They're meeting twice a month.
Yeah.
And they're moving a lot of stuff.
They got a lot of
stuff going on. But they seem they're. I just just look at what they're going on.
I know. Oxford.
Shows up. Yeah. Gets approved. Yeah. Shows up.
Well, a lot of site plan stuff is simple. Okay.
I haven't seen one yet.
No, I'm waiting. We've had quite a few simple ones.
Yeah. Okay. We've had one page applications, not even a drawing of the interior of the building. Just this rectangle on the, here's a circle, that's where my desk is.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are simple. Some of them are more complicated, and they try to make them simple, and then they got to come back. And again, that's a function of they're not getting clear direction at the application stage.
Okay.
All right.
So concepts, the role of the zoning enforcement officer needs to be really defined, and he's driving the application bus until it gets presented to the commission, right?
Regulations clearly state you meet with the zoning enforcement officer.
We have six categories.
Yeah. There's some subcategories within.
Right, but
we don't want to get into.
We got six general categories. Because I'm thinking about, so this is what I'm thinking gets presented to the full commission the next meeting. I won't be here. So if one of you could just, I'll give you a piece of paper. Say here's the results of our meeting.
Oh, excellent! Yeah.
And then say this is what we came up with, and then they can comment on it, right? Yeah. So we're proposing we would have a separate form for each one of these. We'd like a task we want to take on is to gather the existing forms and review them, look at the existing forms and reuse what we can and throw out what we can't, that sort of thing.
Do we even have an online application process?
No. There's no way to get the forms online. Not that I could find.
You got to get them from Lisa. Yeah, I didn't see them online.
Yeah.
And then the seven steps, I think we're saying that would be
abolish those before we get
remove from the website, right?
Yeah.
That's where I got it from. I downloaded everything from the website.
No, I was aghast.
So if we remove it, maybe that may be, even though we may have all this, just put something up there, like Dave said, go see the zoning.
Well, I don't think we want to do that until we commission the whole commission.
Yeah, I think we're recommending that this gets removed, and then we'll need to figure out what is you're going to put it in and replace it. Right.
Even if it's not.
But we are going to say, I think we are saying, what I heard Dave say is that there's no salvaging it.
No.
Right. And there's a process flow diagram that goes with this too. Right.
Yeah.
That's probably not salvageable either.
I think the best way is to have an application for each of these six categories, and then we could do a separate sheet with the steps involved.
Mm-hmm.
All the steps start with meeting with the zoning enforcement officer. And then we could go from there. You know, site plan has to be prepared according to.
Now, could that meeting be a phone call, or does it have to be in person?
Meeting with who?
With the zoning enforcement officer.
It depends on the complexity of the project.
I mean, some of it could be.
It could be a phone call. So there may not even need to be a site plan. Right. It might be a project that is one of the exempt items.
Because there's also Kevin was telling me that he gets like one or two applications a month that actually are site plan type or specials, right?
They're special.
That the commission's going to see. Everything else he's handling.
Yeah.
So presumably that is, if every one of those he has to meet with that person before, and that's part of his workload. But if he can handle it with phone calls or emails or things like that, then that diminishes. He concentrates on the others. Because one of the things that we'll want to do is to get a feeling for how many of these things is he really processing.
Well,
and that would well, that would but
report that one of all of them every month.
Okay. So there's
we could even ask him. Maybe he'll be willing to share that information. Say, look, we're doing this.
But if you looked at the number of applications you get annually,
they're not much.
And you say, okay, so this helps decide how many hours he needs to put in per application. And then you could. Then I also think it's also reasonable to say, to get when the time comes to start talking about budgets, is you say, well, we're expecting a lot of applications because of downtown, or we're expecting a lot of applications because of something going on. So you should budget for that, and that means we may need to have him working 20 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So you get ready for that. Maybe you don't start that way, but as soon as the work upticks, we're going to need him more. And I think it's better to warn them ahead of time than it is to come in when you have trouble. If we have a baseline that says he gets 200 a year, whatever the as a for instance, that's equivalent to so many hours of work. And if we think he's going to get 400, well, we better double. Then now you can start having that kind of conversation, and you can quantify it, and you can justify it as well. Because
so, at what point does he hand it off to Ryan? The engineer.
Well, this is how it's supposed to work. Kevin is supposed to do the preliminary review on the documents associated with the application, meaning the site plan itself, meaning the statement of use, meaning any other submittals that go along with that application. Okay, he's supposed to do the preliminary review. Make sure that the application and the documents are complete. Not that they're correct, but that they're complete. Then hands it off to Ryan, and Ryan does the actual nuts and bolts review to make sure that.
And supposedly Ryan's billable hours are billed to the applicant, right? They're not billed to.
Well, they're billed to the commission.
I thought that
we approve them every month.
No, but I thought.
Oh, whether or not the city then bills the. I don't.
I don't think so. I thought that was, yeah, because I thought that
was,
they would not, they would not give them the permit until they paid for the fees that they incurred.
On the books, you're right, Albert. Whether or not they're doing that in practice, I don't know. But I don't want to get involved in that. That's up to the Board of Alderman.
Yeah, I heard that as well. And that's why I suggested we start seeing the budget and seeing actuals against the budget.
We're not bill collectors.
But we're being asked to approve expenditures. That's what
true.
You're being asked to approve an expenditure. And so, okay. So in my career, I handled money. I worked on multi-million dollar contracts. I was a program manager. I was responsible for money and I was not the accountant, right? I was the guy spending the money or overseeing the people that were spending the money, but I signed for things. And so if you sign for things, you better show me, okay, so here's how much budget I got. Here's how much I spent and how much I got left to go.
Listen, and we're perfectly legit to question Ryan on his hours. And I think that you brought that up. Well, how many hours did you actually spend on it? You know, some of these projects, like I say, they come back month after month after month, and Ryan's got to re-review them again.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's entitled to get paid for that.
Right.
And if the city's not getting reimbursed from the applicant, then it really isn't fair to everybody else.
Well, I couldn't find anybody that could tell me if that was happening or not.
It's happening.
No, if the reimbursement was taking place.
Mark. I don't know who else.
I've been asking the question because we're being asked to approve.
But that money that they would collect, though, that'd go right into the general fund. It wouldn't come back into the P&Z account. I don't think.
No, it doesn't.
Well, right now it's a line item under the city engineer. That's where the money's coming from. It was a $10,000 line. I went and looked at the budget.
Oh, for PNZ? We used to have our own button.
No, it's under the city engineer, and it says PNZ support. So that's the line item that they got to be hitting.
Oh, that's why I'm not.
Yeah, that's right. That's his line item. And so so all I'm saying is that's where the money's coming out of.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm asking, if money's coming back in, then what's the mechanism
to get it back into,
to get it back into that budget? And how do you know how much you should budget every year? So supposing he has a big year, or how do you, if, again, if you think there's a big year coming up, it should be more than 10. And you don't want to ask for more money when it goes to zero. That's the other thing too. That's bad. You want to ask for it. Ahead of time.
Budget it in April.
So,
yeah.
So there's something there's, I think that's scope creep for us, but
yeah, well, that's
for our little subcommittee.
Yeah, no, I, you know,
but it's gonna and it's gonna have a role.
I don't have a dog in that fight
because I would definitely think you would want to bill the applicant because if you get an applicant that's taking up all your time because he's a sloppy applicant, then you're charging a good applicant more just for the initial application fee.
Well, if you want to get into that, I mean. The application fees that we charge, they're a joke. They haven't been updated in 25 years. Okay.
Well,
again, I'm not going to get involved in that.
Well, being a cheap Lithuanian.
So, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know how Ryan gets authorized.
What?
How does he get authorized to do the work?
He gets hired by the, technically, he's hired by the commission. But he has to be approved by the Board of Alderman.
But what turns him on? What PO line item?
What's that?
What purchase order? What contracted vehicle is used to turn him on so that he gets this project?
I guess he has a contract with the city.
They don't ever cite one. They don't ever cite. When they hand us the bill, I look for the purchase order.
Yeah.
And there's no purchase order.
Well, he's timing, you know, timing.
Well, he might be time and material. It might be an IDIQ contract. Well, what is it?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Oh, like the hourly rate?
Well, I know what it is. I see what the rates are. So, but what type of contract? So all of these questions.
I think it's just time and material only because there's no way to foresee what kind of applications and how much time he's going to put in month to month. It's a surprise. And every third Tuesday of the month.
I mean, we could just ask Ryan, say, Ryan. It just happens.
Why don't I put him on the spot? Because this is not his deal. He's just doing the work.
You said there's $10,000 in that account. Yeah. He charges typically double that in a year. So they must have to replenish it when it's getting down.
And I only bring it up because we just did a $4 million increase in town. So they're going to look at every.
Those are real, all legitimate concerns. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. So
I'd like to just stick to fixing the application process.
Okay.
All right.
So.
By doing that, I think if we get the application process down pretty clearly, it's going to take less time in the long run for Kevin to be able, take him more time in the short run for sure, but in the long run, when people get the hang of it, I think he's going to have less time. And I think Ryan McAvoy is going to have
a lot. Yeah, he should only see these things once, right?
Because he's going to have that. Here it is. Kevin went through that checklist. Everybody got what they need.
And now he's looking for
the tech. Now, Ryan is saying, we don't have this. I mean, just last month, that application that came from Water Street. Half the stuff that's required in there wasn't in. Okay. So what happens? We extend it. Let's go resubmit. Ryan's got to do another review with more hours. We're going to get a bigger bill on
it. Yep.
Right.
And whether it gets approved or rejected.
Yeah. And like I said, depends.
Ryan is still going to get paid.
Yeah. Depends who pays the bill. The applicant pays it or the city pays it.
So that's why I'm saying that the more stuff that we can head off at the right at the application stage.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
With these things.
Yeah. And I think it also make your public hearings go better. Mm-hmm. They'll be smoother, right?
Oh, I mean.
There should never be a surprise at the public
hearings. I was so embarrassed with the ones on Franklin Avenue. I mean, that everything was Johnny come lately on that. I mean, that was just.
And then they moved the line.
The ladies for being suspicious.
And then they move the line and everything goes away.
That's all he had to do in the beginning, he wouldn't have come before us.
Bill, we told him 6 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Ted, move the line 7 feet. You don't even have to come before.
Because when I saw that, I said, "Oh my God! If I did that, I would have got fired. They would have marched me right out the door."
Well, Teddy quit.
Well,
anyway.
But again, I mean, that's the kind of stuff I know Kevin well. Kevin really, really struggled with that whole thing. But again, if you have a procedure, policy, application procedure, policy, in writing, okay, here it is, folks. If you can't meet it,
and I think that it's pretty clearly that if your revision comes one day before the meeting, that if it's a complicated revision,
well, you're going to get paid.
Yeah, you're not going to get it.
Or you're going to get, or if time is up, then you're going to get. We're going to, like Bill said, you're going to get denied without prejudice.
That's all, and you restart again.
Yeah, because there's so many applicants that we don't see until the day before.
They do that all the time.
And
they,
I mean, I could.
And we let it out.
Yeah.
It's our own fault.
If it's a central revision, we already talked
about that. Yeah, well.
But.
Okay. So I'm going to say, I think we have enough here to start, right? So gathering the existing forms is going to take. So who can do that?
I could ask Mark again.
Oh, we could ask. We could give Mark. Okay, so I'll ask Mark to do it. Or would Lisa have them?
She should.
Would she know what all the forms are?
She's the keeper of the office station.
Well, that's a good place to start. We start with Mark and Lisa and say, send them a note and say, please send us copies of all the forms.
Yeah, Mark will definitely know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll review them and then we'll make whatever.
So that would be a topic for our next meeting.
Yes.
is to review the gather, get the forms, and then we'll review them. And then what I can do is I will summarize this in, this will be the minutes, and then I'll report back to the the commission. Again, bullet points. I think we may, I think identifying what the forms ought to be and how we think they ought to look, that's going to get plenty for those guys to chew on, which is what you want to give them. You want to give them stuff to chew on, and then
take small steps.
Yeah.
Incremental steps.
But this would be I think this would go a long way to helping the situation. Sure. Yeah. Certainly, if you don't put any garbage in, you're going to reduce the amount that comes out for sure. And then we can start.
It'll help everyone.
And then also, if we might say we would eventually want to see these things online, but we'll construct them so that you could do it on paper, and so it'll transition to online when the city decides yes, they're going to give you a framework to work on, because they got to give you some system to work on, right?
There's definitely good online
if
forms.
If you put them online, you really need to put a statement there that the applicant shall meet with the zoning enforcement officer. Could be online, could be in person, might be a telephone call, but they got to make contact.
Yeah, that's
because you cannot prepare that application, submit it without consulting, and think that it's going to be right.
So I would see Kevin would be if the applicant didn't contact him before the submittal or during the submittal, he would be during the submittal, then it doesn't go anywhere.
No.
He can't turn it back.
The applicant submits that form, you got to put that in the agenda.
But he may not be there.
Huh?
Then he may not meet with anybody.
But if it's not,
if you want the procedure to
it's in the regulation. You shall meet with the zoning enforcement officer. If you don't, then all bets are off when it gets on the agenda.
Yeah, or you hire somebody like Don.
They get denied.
Well, then, see, that's what I would say would be, it would be incumbent on the commission to consider if they are going around the zoning enforcement official, deny with without prejudice. Say, you got to go meet with them. Then we'll talk to you.
Right. There's too many missing links here.
Yeah. If we're finding a whole bunch of problems, you say, you didn't meet with Kevin? And we'll vote on it now. We'll deny it.
The only thing is, and this is where it bites you too. So it goes on the agenda. Now Ryan McAvoy gets his hands on it. And he puts 15 hours in a review trying to identify all the things that are missing in it and whatnot. So again, you know, the city gets hurt time-wise and fee-wise. You know, that's why it's so important.
Well, maybe if when you accept the application and you look at it and you see it's an
incomplete application.
This is an incomplete application. If you want this to move in a timely fashion, it is strong.
He can't turn it back if it's incomplete?
He can ask the applicant to take it back, and he could say, I don't think this application is going to get approved. So you want to waste a month? You know, I mean, Kevin could say this is an incomplete application.
Because if he doesn't have any option other than to pass it through, then it becomes incumbent on the commission to enforce the fact that we want. Vince, so then you got to start denying.
And Bill, believe me, I argued at length with Vince McDermott. I think you met, Vince is Ryan's boss. He's on the Zoom. He says, Dave, an applicant could write their application on a cocktail napkin, and you have to accept it. You heard him say that.
Have to accept it, but you don't have to approve it.
You don't have to approve it, but you have to accept it.
But you have to go through the process.
So we go through the process, and then if it
put it on the agenda,
and then we deny.
We all look at the cocktail napkin and say, "There's not enough information there. You rejected." But Vince said,
"And I could see an applicant doing that if he's like 2 days before our meeting, and he decides, oh, I gotta get on board instead of losing a month.
On a
lousy application, he's got a month to work on it to bring it up. If he comes back the next month, it's still a mess.
Well, All I'm saying is that if you if the only organization in this whole process that has approval or denial authority is the commission.
You bet.
Right.
So if you want things enforced, the commission has to take the responsibility of approving and denying things that are not the way they
want. Officer right. Kevin is good at this. Okay, he could control them. He could threaten them. He could somehow or another whip them into line in submitting a proper application.
And I'm sure he does. Would he, but
some, yeah, I mean, well, right.
But sometimes they're getting, sometimes they get around
it. With the time he's got.
Yeah. And that's the other part about it too, is if he doesn't have the time, he's gonna say, okay, I'm gonna let this go because I have to.
Yeah, and that's where I said, if you have a nice example for the guy, said this is what we expect. You know, if you have a clear cut example for the guy when you hand him that, they said, this is what we expect.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, again, I mean, it's, I wish we could simplify it, but every application is a little different. So, yeah. And I've been done,
right.
You know, we would hear that all the time saying, well, so and so didn't have to do this, but why do I got to do it? Well, you got a different application.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll prepare this.
Yeah, that's good.
So I won't be at the October meeting, but I will. But this November meeting, would you like to meet the same day as
the meeting?
Yeah. I mean, I did this because I wasn't going to be here.
6 o'clock.
Does that work for you, Al?
I mean, yeah, it works for me. It's just I don't know how good of a report we're going to be able to give to the commission. Right after we meet, you know,
but I mean, if we got the, I think we just give them a summary.
We're going to take small steps.
And then write up an official.
Then we give them an official one. Yeah. And then, I mean, they're going to get a fancier one, this one, but it doesn't have to be like.
I don't foresee this being finished for at least 6 months.
That I think so with all of this then.
Yeah.
To create the new forms.
Yeah. And
to go over it. I mean, it's also very important. Guys, to go over this with Kevin and Lisa.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they got
because
it.
If they turn around and say, "Look, you guys, we can't implement this,"
right?
Okay,
that'll be important.
Right.
That you know, then we have to read out and see what we got to do.
Okay. The good news is I'm retired.
I know that.
So I have
rub it in.
Deuce, you're not retired either, are you?
I got another year.
All right. So I think this is a good meeting. Motion to adjourn. Are we ready to adjourn?
All in favor.
Aye. All right.
Good. An hour.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
Got a lot of ideas out there.
Yeah, that was important. And again, I also think they're ideas that are doable.
Mm-hmm.
They're doable things. Yeah. Right. There's things we can do.
The online application may take a lot longer.
Don't want to come in and ask for $1 million, right? $1 million solution.
You know, it's asking.